Welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tocchini. Today's special guest is Mike Berenstain, author and illustrator of the Berenstain Bears. Mike, welcome to Success Made to Last. And tell us a little bit about your upbringing with your two wonderful parents, Stan and Jan Berenstain.
Sure. Well, I grew up in the suburbs of Philadelphia, and I still live in that area, up in the countryside north of that area. And growing up with my parents, I was born in 1951, and in that era, back then, my parents were primarily magazine cartoonists. They did lots of cartoons about family humor for the likes of McCall's magazine, Good Housekeeping. But then as I got a little older, and that was a lot of fun because anytime anything happened in our family, me or my brother, it showed up on the as a joke on the pages of a magazine, and we thought that was very entertaining and amusing. But as I got a little older, in the early 60s, they began to be interested in applying their skills as illustrators and writers to children's books. And they started the Berenstain Bears series in 1962, 50 years ago. And that was a whole new phenomenon. It was very, very interesting watching them create these books. They used to do them as storyboards on the walls of their studio, and I used to be able to get to see them, you know, developing them in the sketch form and tearing them down and putting them back up as they were edited and developed. So it was a very interesting, very enriching and exciting thing to grow up with.
Mike, did you and your brother, Leo, see yourself in some of the Berenstain Bears characters?
Yes, sure. It wasn't so much the characters. Although Mama and Papa are, I think, really distillations of the personalities of my mother and father. My father was kind of excitable and accident-prone and an enthusiast like Papa Bear. And my mother really was kind of calm and sensible like Mama Bear. But brother and sister are more distillations of, you know, typical kids. But things that that we did, just things that happened in the family, everyday things, our experiences, certainly they would work into the stories and the subject matter of the books.
Your mom and dad were all about life lessons and often safety. And I swear, Mike, we learned safety tips from the Bears.
Well, that was a very important part of what they developed. And they had started doing, let's say, magazine cartoons and also writing books of humor, which very often were advice books. They were sort of humorous advice about family, raising families and raising children back in the late 40s and early 50s. And that was really the beginning of their idea of their common sense approach to families and child rearing. And they, you know, they grew up very poor in the Depression from, hardworking, working-class families struggling through the Depression. And I think they just had a lot of common sense about what families are all about and morality and ethics. And that's, they tried to put that into their books.
That makes total sense. While we always talk about life lessons, we often question about the practicality of common sense and the practice of common sense. And I was told growing up that common sense is often not common practice, especially across multiple generations.
Well, I think it's partly because they had it tough. It was, they had to struggle through life, and they didn't. There wasn't a lot of, you know, advice being given to people from the media. There was very little media. You know, there was the, in fact, one of the first things that they, books that my parents did was a spoof of Dr. Spock's baby book called The Berenstain's Baby Book. And that shows you that they grew up in an era before any of that stuff. Nobody was telling you how to rear children. You had to learn it yourself or from your parents or your family or your grandma or whoever knew it from the kind of the folk, accumulated folk wisdom of your community. And so I think people were more self-reliant. They figured things out themselves. They had to. And so they developed more common sense. They didn't just, weren't always chasing after the latest fad.
So self-reliance, perseverance, and relying on horse sense is a big part of your generation.
My parents is not only growing up in the Depression and struggling through that, but then when they met in the fall of 1941, fell in love when they first went to art school, and that was 2 months before Pearl Harbor. And then the war came, and my dad was drafted He was my interestingly enough, my father was blind in one eye, which is unusual for a successful artist, but he was. And he was drafted anyway, and he was put in training with other guys who were blind in one eye. That's how bad things were in World War II. They drafted people who were half blind, and they were put in training to, you know, do stateside guard duty and things. And he wound up as a medical illustrator in a army hospital. And my mother did war work during the war. She was an aircraft riveter, Rosie the Riveter. So, you know, people they had tough, hardworking lives, and you develop a lot of self-reliance from that.
Mike, you were the youngest or the oldest son?
I'm the youngest of two sons. I have an older brother, Leo.
From an enterprise perspective, what lessons have you learned about running the Berenstain Bears business?
Yeah, well, my parents were very, very brilliant creative people, but they were also very good business people. It's very hard to get any creative person to get your work out there and successful in the world and recognized by people unless you're pretty canny and hardworking about the business side of it. You know, the idea of the world will beat a path to your door isn't always necessarily true. Very often you have to beat a path to the people's door. And my dad particularly was very smart about that. And my brother and I started working with them, many years ago, going back over 20 years ago. And my brother on the business side, and I on the business side, and also on the writing and illustrating side, because I was trained as an illustrator. And we learned a lot from my dad. My mom was good at business, but she was really focused on the illustration, on the creative side. And as she got older, she really didn't want to be involved so much in the business side, although she was very smart about it, and she understood what was going on. So after my dad's passing in 2005, my brother wound up focusing, taking over the running it as a business and working with my mom creatively, but she didn't want to be bothered with that stuff anymore, pretty much.
Hey, Mike, we love so many of the books, but let's talk specifically about Home Sweet Home.
Well, that's the subject of the book, but the title of the book is The Berenstain Bears, God Bless Our Home. That's the title, and it's, of course, that's the subject is about Home Sweet Home. And it's part of a line of books that we do with the religious part of our publisher, HarperCollins. Their religious division is Zondervan. And we've done a series of books that have spiritual themes and taking subjects like Home Sweet Home and applying traditional religious principles to it. So that's what this book is about. It's about the blessing of having a wonderful, safe, and enriching and supportive family in home.
Does that mean that the Bears have found faith or that they've always had it?
Well, they didn't start out to have any particular religious content. My parents really weren't focusing on that when they started the books, and for many years they did not have that as a part of the books. But a number of years ago, I'm a Christian, and when I began working on them, I was interested in applying my religious beliefs and my skills to furthering religious teaching, and sure, using that to help families who were maybe struggling with raising their children in a religious tradition. And so when we started publishing with HarperCollins, we decided that since they did have a very important publisher within their publishing world, Zondervan, that it would be a good idea to start doing a separate line of books that dealt with those kinds of issues. And the first ones were published in 2008, and they've been very popular, so we've done a lot more, and this is one of them.
Mike, we happen to love the Bears for having a whole family. That's a mom, a dad, and children. This is an extraordinarily important topic for today, especially when it comes to storytellers and content creators of the future. Tell us a little bit more.
Thank you for saying that. I certainly think that the response of our readers to this series is very gratifying and very supportive, and we certainly, give people like it, so we keep doing it.
Are you doing all the illustrations now?
Yes, I was trained as an illustrator both by my parents and in art school, and I was an illustrator doing all kinds of different types of children's books for many years, ever before I started working with my parents. I started working with them, I guess, in the late 80s, and then by early 90s, I was working with them full-time on the Berenstain Bears. And then I'd also been writing children's books and started working with my dad as a writer. So, yeah. And since my dad's death, my mom and I, we illustrated the books together, and now with her passing, I'm doing them myself. And it's a lot of work, so I do have a couple freelance artists I work with to help out, because I can't do it all myself. We work together on them.
Mike, tell us about the second generation illustrators. Is there a special gene pool that helps perpetuate favorite cartoon characters like Dagwood, Beetle Bailey, and others?
There are a lot of examples of that. Going back to the Babar the Elephant, the Brunhoff's father and son. There's been many, many over history. I don't know. Obviously, artistic skills, whether it's art or writing or music or whatever, does have a genetic component. Although a lot of it, I think, has to do with the environment you grow up in. If you're exposed to the work and you participate in it as a kid with your family, that's going to be a big influence. And it doesn't explain people like my dad, who their families had no artistic inclinations or skills or knowledge of any kind. And yet he was, his family, they were hardworking, working class people, and they'd never even heard of art, as far as I can tell. They're nice people, but they no art there. And yet my dad, right from the beginning, he was drawing and interested in art and very skillful at it. So it's hard to sort that out. Some of it's genetic, some of it's nurture and influence, and some of it's, I don't know where it comes from.
We applaud you for carrying forth great stories and illustrations from Stan and Jan. Let's take a few callers now. The first caller wants to know a little bit more about the family business. Did Stan and Jan leave you with any surprises as they turned the business over to you and your brother Leo?
Well, I really can't give a very relevant answer to that specific question, because I didn't, take it over suddenly. I started working with them both on the work, the artwork, and the business side of it back in the early 90s. So it's, and they were there doing it with me for many, many years. And also, I had been very involved with them, not in the creating the Berenstain Bear books, but just as a professional artist and illustrator myself, going back even farther, and was very familiar with what they were doing even when I was growing up. They would talk to, as a family, we'd talk about everything they were doing. So I kind of grew up with the business. So there weren't any surprises. The one thing that I can say is that a pitfall, and it's not really a pitfall, but just a kind of a wrinkle of business, is I think that as people get people, and when you start a business, or you start off with a business when you're young, as time goes by, you tend to get kind of stuck in a groove, and you tend to a business groove. I'm not talking about creatively, but in terms of the business of thinking, what happened, what worked in the 1960s or the 1970s, that's always going to work. And of course, in the world of business, things are constantly changing. And so I did see that my parents would kind of lose interest in new things that would be going on in the world of business and marketing and communications. And I think that's a natural, almost inevitable tendency for as you get older in business. So that's something I kind of try to bear in mind and try to think, well, just because I'm getting older, I don't want to get fossilized. I want to keep, being open to new things.
This next caller wants to know why Papa Bear wears bib overalls and a plaid shirt.
Because that's what he wore in the first book that was created in 1962. When my parents created them, they were cartoonists. And think about, like Peanuts. Charlie Brown always wears that same shirt, And that was their, that's what they did. They had their... They believed in that you want to make sure that people recognize this character and it gets in your head, and you're always going to recognize that character has this costume, and that's what they did ever since.
And more calls from our listening audience. Mike, is there a value in keeping the bears dressed the same way as Stan and Jan originally created them?
Yeah. Also, you've got to realize that the characters were created as this kind of rustic, rural bear country. They're not a sophisticated world. They're a idealized version of some kind of stand-in for traditional, rural, old-fashioned America. And so to have them updated and having wearing different kinds of clothes, it really wouldn't help the whole feel and message and meaning and identity of the characters and their environment that they're living in. It's very important for them to persist in that very traditional, old-fashioned, kind of rustic unsophisticated world that they live in.
And here's a caller who wants to know, which family member has the smirkiest personality?
Smirkiest? Don't think anybody's very smirky. There are some other characters who have been introduced into the books of various types over the years who I could say would be smirky. Occasionally a character shows up who is related to the scientist of Bear Country. Professor Actual Factual Bear runs the Bearsonian Institution. He's a very, very knowledgeable person. For instance, he gives advice about environmental issues in the book, The Bernstein Bears Don't Pollute Anymore. And he has a nephew named, what's his name? I forget his name. I'm blocking on his name. But he's a kind of a smirky, nerdy know-it-all kid. So there are some smirky characters, but not in the family, I don't think.
Here's a caller that has a question that borders on crises hotline stuff. Remember, folks, this is Life Lessons Show. This caller wants to know if you will address childhood obesity and internet safety in the future.
Well, we've already done those. The childhood obesity, we've dealt with, maybe obesity would be too strong a word, but the idea of healthy eating and junk food, things like that, and gaining weight from improper eating was dealt with in a very pioneering way by my parents back in the 80s with the Bernstein Bears and too much junk food. It deals very specifically with that issue, and it's been adopted in a lot of schools and programs who want supplemental reading for that issue. And it continues to be one of the most popular books they ever did, even after 30 years. And the issue of online safety, we just released a book called The Bernstein Bears and Computer Trouble. And it deals specifically with that issue. And actually, in the back of the book, it has a whole safety guide for kids and parents about how to be safe online. So, yeah, we do those.
And to that caller, the Bernstein Bears are apparently already embracing real-world issues, as Mike noted.
Yeah, what we do is we basically wait until some issue seems to be there's a crying need for it. We're not out looking for problems. We kind of wait. We see what's happening in society, and when some issue comes up that everybody seems to be dealing with and there's a big problem with it, then we deal with it, because obviously then there's a need in the public for that. In fact, one of the most successful books my parents ever did, called The Bernstein Bears Learn About Strangers, which they did in the mid-80s, and dealt with the issue of stranger danger, of, don't talk to strangers, and how do you deal with that, and how do you teach your kids about it without scaring them out of their wits but still getting the message across. And that was been a very popular and very appreciated book.
Mike, with the passing of your dear mom, Jan, will you be writing a book about dealing with the loss of parents?
Well, I can give you a simple answer, and the answer is no. And I can tell you why, not to be too flippant about it. People have, over the years, going way back, been saying, you really should do a book about death and loss in the family. And so we took that to heart, and several years ago, we kind of say, well, we don't know if we're really ready to deal with the death of a loss of a parent or a grandparent, although that's a possible possibility. We said, let's try dealing with the basic issue of the death of a pet in the family, because that's probably very often the first loss of that kind a child ever experiences, and it can be a kind of a model for how you deal with that issue. So
that's
we did
right.
a book about the death of a goldfish. The goldfish sister bear had a... It's called The Bernstein Bears Lose a Friend. And I think we dealt with it very sensitively and in a uplifting, encouraging, but educational manner for children. And that book does not sell well. It's all very well to say that you should do a book about something or that there's a need for something. But in practice, very often people don't really want it. And I think that if we did a book about the death of a parent or a grandparent, I don't think people really would want it, because it's kind of depressing. And people don't really go to our books because they want to be sad and depressed. They want some entertainment. They want some gentle lessons in life. They want something funny. Our books are funny, after all. And some things, it's a good idea, but maybe in practice it wouldn't really work out. And I think that's an example.
And Mike, another caller wants to know when your mom and dad started teaching you to illustrate. Can you share more?
Well, the answer is yes, they certainly did. It and it's going to sound corny, but my earliest memory is of interacting with my mother in me helping me draw. And I know that sounds pretty corny, but it's true. I mean, my earliest memory is of scribbling. So I must have been very young, maybe two or something. I was sitting on the floor of their studio with a big, they had these big black greasy pencils that they used when they were doing sketches for cartoons. And they had old-fashioned yellow, cheap typewriter copy paper for making carbon copies. And they'd give me these, this yellow paper and these big greasy pencils, and I'd scribble with them on the floor. I remember my mom coming over, and I'd say, look, and big hairball I made. And she sat down with me, and she said, well, look, you know, why don't you color in these little bits of this? And that would look like a fish, little curving lines that crisscrossed and made like a little fishy pattern. So I got a green pencil and I colored that in, and it looked like a fish. And I remember, man, that's pretty cool. You can make something that looks like something. And then I started, you know, trying to make things look like things, and with varying success. And then later on, if I had some issue like how do you draw something, they'd help me figure it out. And then later, when I got seriously interested in art, they would teach me, you know, specific techniques like pen and charcoal and watercolor and oil technique. And so they taught me how to draw and paint. And then I developed that further in art school too.
That is priceless. To you parents listening today, see what your kids remember in terms of experiences with you. Hey, Mike, thanks again for being on our show today. Tell our listeners where they can buy the most recent Berenstain Bears books.
They're available in Barnes & Noble. If you go in the religion, kids' religious section of the kids' store, the kids' section that has a religious section, they have a section of Berenstain Bears. They're called Living Lights books. They're also available in independent stores. They're available in many mass marketers like supermarket kiosks and, of course, online, BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com. They're around all over the place. And you can go to our website, BerensteinBears.com, and we have a referral system for ordering them online.
Well, Mike, you are one of our favorite guests. We appreciate you being on our Success Made to Last show today. Please join us again.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And as we always say to you, keep talking, but listen more intently. Have a great week. This show is brought to you by Success Made to Last. Success Made to Last is a multimedia company with a focus on you and releasing your full potential. If you want to find out more information about all the programs associated with this company, go to successmadetolast.com.